We're doing the Sefer HaMidot. We're up to the 16th chapter, the second paragraph. And he had been explaining the different words in Emet Ve'Yatziv about the Torah. These are words that describe the uniqueness of the Torah. And the word he's up to now is the word V'Kayam. One extraordinary trait of the Torah is the way it is still extant, that the Torah has a certain consistency which is unnatural, which is godly. And he explained one aspect in the first paragraph, that the Torah is praiseworthy in a continuous fashion, whereas other things are only exciting when they're new. The Torah is continuously exciting. And he continues and says, "Od tireh b'maaseh bnei adam." Furthermore, you'll see the way people behave. "Batchilo la'asot davar." When a person starts doing something, initially, because he likes it so much, because he desires it so much, he'll be very strong in doing it. But after a period, he goes lax. He's suddenly not as excited about it. And he could even reach a point where he doesn't do it at all. Sometimes it's not because he doesn't care, but that's the way human beings are. That you forget, suddenly you're not as excited about it, suddenly you're not as adherent to it. You could take any type of thing a person tries to do. Over time, you get tired of it. You want to learn the piano, to practice isn't so easy. Initially, you're all excited. And after a very short period of time, suddenly most people don't maintain that excitement. The same thing goes for sports. The same thing goes for anything a person tries to do. Consistency is very hard, especially a consistent excitement. The person doesn't even sense himself how he's slowly leaving go. As the verse says in Isaiah, And this happens even more so when things change in a person's life. A person suddenly finds himself in a different position socially. Suddenly he has much more wealth than what impressed him earlier and what he was dedicated to earlier. Doesn't impress him anymore. Or if he loses his wealth, so again, his interests change, his dedications change. As he nepach liyishacher, it's as though he becomes a different person. Certainly, if it's something that a person can err in, that it's not an exact science, or b'shiro v'mishpato, or something which you don't necessarily get the exact amount. That if a person finds himself hungry, a person can get angry at the thing he's busy with. I can't get this right. A guy likes tinkering with electronics. One day he's very excited. After 3 days, computers. Oh, so a lot of people try to deal with computers, and at some point they could find themselves in a situation. I can't access my email. I can't access anything. I'm tired of trying to fix this myself. He starts off with a lot of excitement, but after an hour or two, unless he's being paid for that hour or two as a computer technician, his excitement wears off. Even more so in a situation where someone is forced by others to do this. Someone forces you to do something, so then the excitement can wear off real fast. Suddenly a person finds himself, his mind is wandering, suddenly he's not doing his job as he should. Suddenly he talks one way. Yeah, I'm doing it. And he's not really doing it. And even more so if it's something that's not a single person's responsibility. It's a team project. Suddenly the boss tells you, I know you're busy, but you're going to take on another project. You and him and him and him. You know what's going to happen. Kimnitzatam zal, as our sages said, Kidra de beishut fe'lokirav lochamima. If you have a pot that's the responsibility of a few people, so then it's never hot and never cold. Because no one feels it's their responsibility to bring it to a boil. No one's going to let it get completely cold. It's never anything. It's always somewhere in the middle. Everyone's doing a little bit, throws something to the fire, but everyone's busy doing something else. It's not their prime focus. You take five workers and you tell them, all you guys, take care of this project too. Every one of them is going to say, well, he'll do more, he'll do more. Everyone does something that's less than adequate. You guys know the story about the shul of the beggars and the shul of the rich. The shul of the rich used to serve vodka every Simchas Torah. They'd have a big keg, and all the members could take freely from the keg of vodka as they were dancing on Simchas Torah. The shul of the poor, they could only look at the shul of the rich and see how they're drinking their vodka. So what did they decide? So the poor people decided, you know what, we have enough members. We can each afford a small cup of vodka each Shabbos. We'll each put in a small cup of vodka into a keg on Shabbos. And after a whole year, so then we'll have a full keg just like them. And once a year we'll be able to dance like the rich people on Simchas Torah. So come Simchas Torah, a whole year, everyone comes to shul religiously every Shabbos. No one wants to be caught not doing it. So everyone comes with their small schnapps glass. You see the clear liquid being poured into the keg. Everyone on their way in Friday night pours in their little schnapps glass into the keg, and comes Simchas Torah. Everyone pours out their big cup, and it's all water. Everyone figured, if I just put in water every week, everyone else is putting schnapps, I'm okay. Right? Okay, so then you got a keg full of water. That's what happens when you have our partnerships. Everyone figures, everyone else is doing it, I'm okay. You know, it's the same story about a city that had exactly 10 people. So every morning, everyone showed up for Minyan because there was no one else. One day a visitor came. The next morning, no one showed up. Everyone figured, today I can take a day off to our 11th. So that's what Chazal taught us. When there's a partnership, when it's mutual responsibility, so we all, everyone is more lax about it. If someone wants to test what we're saying, says the Magid Midovna, a person should take on himself a new habit, one or two new habits. Make it the smallest thing in the world. Decide that when you're putting on your pants, you're putting the right leg in before the left leg. Take a small habit. Take something minuscule. Something that doesn't affect your body. It's not you're going to eat less, you're going to work out. Take a small habit. Doesn't affect your money. Don't make it something that'll cost you. In kol ze, nonetheless, tirei, you'll see. You'll see after a period of time, it'll start being annoying, and you'll start being lax. The smallest habit, take two things that you try to adopt, you'll see it won't work. And it's more so if you have 10 people that get together, and they all agree, let's all work on this trait. You'll see that as days go by, everyone gets tired of it. The classical example is everyone's New Year's pledges. How long does it last? You know, the a week. Okay, that's very good. I'm very impressed, right? Ata re'e gam re'e. He says, now I want you to look. Take a good look. Toratenu HaKadosha, our holy Torah, asher lemitzvoteha v'chukoteha en mispar. The number of mitzvos, the number of statutes that the Torah gives us is beyond number. Kimamar, as the verse says, rechava mitzvatcha meod. The verse says, how wide are your mitzvos, how encompassing they are. Uchmo she'en mispar lemitzvoteha, and just as there's no enumeration that really encompasses all the mitzvos. Yes, we say there are 613, but each one has its details, and the applications are limitless. Kenen mispar la'anashei b'nei brita. By the same token, there isn't a finite number of people observing Torah. You have a Jewish people that keeps changing. More and more people are born. You have more people in the covenant. And there's no limit. It's not like Jews only live here. Jews live all over. We're spread out throughout the land. We're scattered all over. How much time has passed since we received the Torah? And how much pogroms have we suffered? How many times have people purposely tried to get us to transgress our tradition? And we've been afflicted with terrible occurrences from the time of the destruction of the temple. And you know what? You cannot compare a person who's sitting his grandparents, his great-grandparents, everyone's been living here in France. He's the 15th generation Frenchman. Show me a Jew that's living 15 generations in any country. We're always traveling. You can't compare a person who's at home to a person that's traveling. Our sages said, whenever you're traveling, there's danger. A person is more perceptible to danger and to harm. A person is at a disadvantage when he's traveling. So to us, he says, I'm giving you reasons why we should not be able to keep up this quote-unquote habit of keeping Torah. It applies to so many aspects of our life. It's limitless. There are so many people doing it. We don't say, oh, there are a million Jews, I don't have to keep Shabbos. We've suffered because of the Torah. We've been traveling. We haven't had the peace of mind to stick to a specific habit. And things aren't easy. You want to keep Torah? You got to learn. You got to learn in depth. The Torah isn't clear if you read it quickly and haphazardly. From the day the Torah was given, we've been toiling over it. We haven't laid rest. We've been toiling over it. And the number of trials and tribulations that the Jewish people have encountered is infinite. And yet, Hashem Torah is whole. Tmimai ki yom nitinata me'al Sinai. It is as whole as the date was given from Sinai. Kelechem cham biyom lakho. It's like fresh bread. Ve'lo nishtakachas v'shalom shu mitzvah ma'amitzvot gam min hakalot. You don't find we forgot a mitzvah. Now there are 612. Even a light mitzvah. Klalei ofratei chelek ve'anaf. The generalizations, the details, the portions, the branches. Gam ketipa min hayam lo nechsar mikol mitzvah lemosh gagai misibat rov hazman. We haven't lost like a drop of the sea that will say, oh, you know, so much time has passed, so we don't do that anymore. Ki misibat shen biyaden lekaimo. The only thing is, there are mitzvahs that we cannot perform. Kamo korban mincha v'nesach. We can't bring a sacrifice. We still have the laws. We still have the Torah. We still learn about it. We have situations that preclude our observance, our performance of certain mitzvot. Ken lanu bet mikdash u'mizbeach. We don't have a temple. We don't have an altar. Otchelet. We don't have blue dye to put in our tzitzis v'chadome and similar mitzvos, which we cannot perform because the circumstances do not allow us to perform it. But it's not that it was lost out of a lackadaisical attitude. No. You take any other habit, people lose it. You take the Torah, it's more detailed. We've suffered more. We've traveled. We haven't had the peace of mind. And yet, look at how we stick to it. If we wouldn't have the tradition that you could wear tzitzis without the blue dye, then maybe we would go crazy after that blue dye. We know that halachically we could manage without it. He says, I'll prove it to you. When we need an esrog for sukkahs in our towns, we send across the globe to get an esrog, a lulav adas. In Europe, that's what they do. They send people across the continent to get an esrog. And then the whole community, and sometimes a few communities, would use one esrog. And by us keeping Torah is like keeping life. When it comes to human life, we say there are three partners. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Avi V'Imo. Three partners. God, the Father, and the Mother. Ken ha'davar b'Torah. The same holds true with regard to the Torah. Shevach ha'mekayma le'ein kol. The praise of he who maintains Torah is visible to all. K'ma'amar Shlomo, Melech Alav Shalom, as King Solomon said, Einayich yonim, your eyes are like dove. And the Medrash explains, what does it mean, your eyes are like dove? Mayonazo enam emira ben zuga. You guys know what's unique about doves? You ever have doves out your window? You guys should once.
They travel in pairs.
Yeah, it's not only they travel in pairs. They could spend hours pecking at one another and looking at one another's eyes. Just standing there looking at one another. Mamash, you understand where the term lovebirds comes from. You see these two birds standing there looking at one another, looking, and he pecks at her and she pecks at him, and he pecks at her and she pecks at him, and they stand there purring to one another. The Medrash says, why are we described that our eyes are like doves? Just like the dove doesn't exchange its mate, kach Israel, so too the Jewish people, from the time they recognized God, they never exchanged him from anyone else. So the point he made today about Vekayam is that fantastic point that you take any other habit, even if we would try to take a habit on one or two points, we wouldn't last. After a very short time, we'd be tired of it. You take throughout the world, you try to give someone something to do and they can get used to it. Look at how many people try so many different diets and so many different ways to quit smoking and other things. It's hard, it's hard. To change our ways is hard. But you look at the Torah and you look at all the aspects of life that it encompasses, the number of people it encompasses. No one says, other people are doing it, I don't have to do it. We all perform the Torah. We don't lose a mitzvah. In spite of everything we've suffered, and I would add a point to what he's saying, we suffered because we kept the Torah. That would be another reason not to keep the Torah. And in spite of all that, that's what we're saying, Vikayam, the fact that the Torah is extant the way it was, like lovebirds. We haven't changed. We're still sticking to our mate. And that's the point that he's making today about that aspect of the greatness of the Torah, to be continued, Be'ezrat Hashem, next time.